And we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 11. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Proverbs chapter 2, starting at verse 1. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Let us give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your instruction. We thank you, Lord, for your discipline. We thank you that you continue to walk with us on this path and help us to see it so that we can be faithful in all that we do. So now, Lord, help us to open up our hearts and our minds. Help us to receive your lessons and yours alone. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice and yours alone. And so we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus who had died for our sins, that we understand, that we know his great love for us, that we may show our great love for him. Amen. Well, as you see that we're going to be talking about a blameless walk. We're going to be talking about how we live as believers in Jesus Christ, as those who have been saved by Jesus. This is what our Proverbs here calls a blameless walk. And I think that sometimes it can seem a little daunting, and certainly it is. It is our challenge that we would walk this way, that we would walk blamelessly. But we know that even from considering who we are and what we truly are, that that's no easy task. That's no easy challenge. That it's in our imperfections and is what we are that we continue to need our direction from our Father. That we continue to need the direction from all that he can teach us through his words, through our prayers. Now, as we open this up, I just want to point out the first two words in Proverbs there. Proverbs there is, my son. We had talked about Proverbs chapter 1 last week, but then just further into that, he had changed the conversation from a father to a son, and that's why we find here then addressed as my son. In other words, it's not so much that he's saying this is only for fathers and for sons, but rather what he's saying is this is a relationship that we have with our God, that he sees us in a familial relationship. He sees us as a personal relationship. It's not a matter of us following the things of the church or just doing what we were told to do, but rather it's in an exchange of love and trust in relationship to one another. No different than we would find between a father and a son, or a mother and her daughter, or a mother and her son, or a father and his daughter. What we would find between each other. And so as we look at that, we need to keep that in context. We need to keep that with us so that we can understand then that as God walks with us, it's not so that he can watch over us and he's got some kind of discipline stick with him that he needs to whack us with now and then, but rather it's because he wants us to succeed. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to grow in that faith and to be more each time that we think of him or lay ourselves out in front of him and we call upon his name. That he wants us to be more. All the way over in John 17 and verse 14, Jesus is saying a prayer for us. and for his disciples, and then later then it would be for us as we turn into disciples. But in John 14, he's leaving us behind in the world, and certainly he's praying for our well-being while we're in the world. And he says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. And so our biggest fight then is because we are in the world, that Jesus knows that he has left us here. Jesus knows that he has set us on a path that takes us through some dangerous grounds. And then a little further in verse 17, he says in his prayer, he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be truly sanctified. Sanctified to be cleansed of our sins, certainly, but to be prepared to be set aside for him and his holy purpose then while we're still here in the world. That we are set aside in his truth and in his word so that we know how to live. There should be no question for us as believers about what is the right path to follow and what is the wrong path. It should all be secure in his words and his words alone. And so as we're given these things, as we're taught these things and brought to them then, we understand that we can't do it alone. We need help. That we rely on him. We are dependent upon God our Father. Now, what I would like to point out to you here as we start to look at these Proverbs in depth, that if you look there, you'll see that there is three times is repeated, if you. These are if you clauses. Okay, so there, in other words, there's something that follows them. So there's if and then there's a then. And so if you see the if you, then you should be looking for something else that ends that. So in other words, if you do this, in this case, in verse 1, it says, if you accept my words, then there has to be something that follows. It's not a matter of just you just do that and just be doing it to be doing it. Now, there's two connections here. And verse 1 is connected to verse 9. That is our first sequence of the if you clauses. And then the second sequence is inside of that in verses 3, 4, and 5. And but we're going to take a good look at those. We're going to try to help ourselves to understand how that all works in our lives. So in other words, if you see here then in verse 3, he says, if you call out for insight. Notice we're brought to do these things. Or you cry aloud for understanding. It's not enough that you would just want that, but it's only enough if you cry out. It's only enough if you call for these things from God. So it's not well enough that we show up in church and we do the things that Christians do, but rather it's only well enough when we are the ones who are reaching out to Father, our God, to Jesus Christ, our Lord, to the Holy Spirit, our guide and our counselor, that as we reach out, that we are the ones who do that. We don't wait for him to instill that upon us. Even though he can and even though he will, we must be the first. Because he has already acted. God has already acted. That he has called us to him. That he died in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. That he acted in our lives. And so now we respond. It would be a lazy faith that would sit down and just wait for God to do his next thing. Because God has already done the first thing. And now he expects the response from all of us as individuals, as a church, but certainly as those who love Jesus Christ. So in the then, what we find in the then, not the then, that sounds weird, but what we find in then is really a promise. And so we have promises that are made by God in here as we come to these words, as we see. So if we do these things, if you call out for insight, cry aloud, if you cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it, and he's talking about wisdom there, that's the it, as for silver and search for it, as for hidden treasures. So in other words, your desires in your heart, you're looking for them, you cry out because you can't find them. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Then, when you're doing that, when you're in that position, when you're in that role, that you are calling out for insight, you're calling out for understanding, you are searching for it like there is nothing else in the world that matters to you, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. He wants you to fear him. As we said in Proverbs 1, fear is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so as he calls us out for that and we find ourselves standing here then, we got to do something. You got to do something. It just doesn't happen. God did something. He works in you. He calls you out. He's the one that brought your heart to be transformed in front of Him. But then in His great love, He gave you a son. And then in His great love, then He expects you to love Him in return. And we say, well, how do I do that? How do I love God? Do I just stand around and do I tell people, oh, I love God, I love God. Don't you love God? I love God. But that's not what it is. What it is that we need to learn. We need to grow in that relationship. Just like you grow in every relationship that you have in your life. So I had an epiphany while this was going on. I just learned that word epiphany. So I'm just going to say it a couple more times. I hope you know what it means. Epiphany. It was just this wonderful understanding. And it came to me through the most odd way. The most difficult way that I could actually think of. You see, there's a rumor going on around there about me out there. And I want to address that rumor here today as we talk about walking this right path, as we talk about who we are. And this is the rumor. The rumor is that there's a new owner of my home. I was going to say there was a new woman in my life, but that didn't sound right. Can I have that slide, please? I would like for you to meet Ruby. Ruby is 14 weeks old, or she was 14 weeks old a week ago, so she's 15 weeks now. We've been living with Ruby for a week now, which feels like been a year or more. And at one time, we thought that we had her outnumbered. If you could give me the next slide, please. We thought we had Ruby outnumbered. There was two of us, and we're adults, we're big, and she's little. But boy, were we ever wrong. We thought you buy a puppy, you bring it home, you raise it up, and everything's just wonderful, right? I mean, that's the American dream. There's no work involved. You buy a puppy, you bring a puppy home, and they grow up into big dogs, and they love you, and you love them, and it's really wonderful. Somebody lied. I think it was me. But as I brought this to my heart, as I brought these words in, I did understand that there was a spiritual connection here. And not with me and the dog. I believe that animals are without souls. That I have a soul and an animal doesn't. But that doesn't release me from my responsibility. In fact, it increases my responsibility. We are called out as we, the stronger in faith, to help the weaker in faith. And so as we're called out in these things, then it is our responsibility to be closer to God, to do more in that. And so as what I learned in this epiphany, in this all of a sudden amazing understanding of what was going on, and honestly, you know, I'm tired of crying at night, and I'm tired of getting up early in the morning and crying before I come into the office. I'm tired of all that. But then I realized that there is a purpose. There is a reason why God made a four-legged creature that could love me and intimidate me all in the same moment. That she could love me and make me feel that I don't have a soul. It is way easy to lose your control, to lose your temperament, because I know you all see me as a very calm, you know, mild-mannered man. I'm not really big. I like to think I'm tall, but I'm not. And then she walks into the room, she walks into my life, and everything has changed. And all of a sudden, all of that comes into question. Can I really control who I am? The answer is no. She bites. She doesn't know how to use the restroom. You can't put diapers on puppies. They chew them off. We tried. So what I learned was that God has given me a great responsibility in my life. And not just with the puppy. But God has given me an amazing responsibility with my faith. Now, I'm going to ask you to change to the next slide so we can have the title slide back up there, okay? Because I know you're just going to stare at the puppy the whole time I'm talking, and we're not doing that today. But I have learned a lot from this. You see, as we look at Proverbs, the first thing that we have to do is we have to understand what it means to us in our lives. Now, oftentimes what we'll do is we'll take a word of Scripture and we'll say, well, it's got to be something amazing, something because, you know, it's God. And so God would do something divine. God would do something miraculous. God would do something that people would look at me and they would say, look at that guy and his faith. Look at how much faith that guy has. And so what God did to me is he sent me a puppy so he could destroy everything that I was so that he could start over building me back up so he could see what my response was. He sent a soulless creature to be with a soul, a creature who has a soul, so that I could demonstrate to my Lord, my God, that in his creation, that I can do that. That I can act like I have a soul. That I can act like someone who believes in God, in Jesus Christ. So that I can do these things. And the first thing that God always teaches us is that you don't know how to do it, do you? And we might at first say, oh, sure, sure. I mean, what does it take to raise a puppy? Look how little and cute and fuzzy they are. All it takes is to bring them home. You get them home and you're good. And you say, well, you know, okay, so, you know, are you doing this just so you can just take a shameless plug for your puppy? Yes, because I need help. This dog is bigger than the both of us. She owns my house. But as we go through all of this process, where is it that we return to, that we look at when we're raising children, when we're having relationships, when we're married and we're growing in that relationship? Where do we look when it gets hard? We look at ourselves and not our God. How do I fix my latest problem? Well, there's something I can do. I don't need to have faith in God. I can do this without that. No, you can't. Do I sound shrill? A little bit. See what puppies do to you? They're not as cute as you think. But as we look at what God calls us to do here, as he brings us out to these things, we have to be looking at these spiritual connections. You see, my spiritual connection is not with the creature, but rather with the Creator. That whether that problem is in my house and my wife and I are doing the best we can, or that problem is your problem, you must look for the spiritual connection in it. You must look up to God. You must cry out to him. And trust me, I've been crying out a lot to him. You know, and you call out to him and you say, help me understand. Help me to know. You see, right away we assume that because he says here, well, help, give us insight and give us understanding. We right away assume, well, so I can understand what this says here. No. I mean, it helps. But no. Now I sound like I'm giving commands to my puppy. No. Down. No, what he's talking about here, is that we would understand the presence of God in our lives. The work and the power of our faith that comes in following the one who teaches us and helps us. You see, that dog, this is my responsibility in that puppy, is that if she were left alone, she would probably perish now. If I were to just leave her there or to abandon her somewhere, she could perish. So I have an obligation. I have a commitment. I have a responsibility here. I have to do something then for her, because the choice was already made. She didn't make it. We did. We sat there and we looked at that dog and we prayed over that. Well, not the dog, but us. And we prayed over the decision and we decided, you know, finally we could do this. And we got home and we said, no, we can't do this. But this is how it works. This is how it works, whether it's a silly puppy or you're facing a divorce. Or you're facing the next life-changing thing in your lives. That you see, God wants you to see. He wants you to understand. You know, that he's given you truth and he's given you his son. He's given you salvation. He's given you hope. He wants you to know that he is there with you. You see, that's the trust that we're building with her. That as we build our trust with Ruby, our puppy, that she knows that we're there. That she knows that we will care for her. She knows that, you know, I get it, you know, dogs don't really trust, you know, but they learn to trust. And so as we work with her, we want her to know that we're coming back. That we're gonna take care of her. You see, this is what we do in God. God helps us to know. I'm not gone, I'm right here. You will eat, even though your cupboards are empty or bare. You will eat. If you act responsible, if you call out to Him, if you accept these things from Him, then that He will give you wisdom. He will give you understanding. He will help you to fear Him. He will help you to find the knowledge of God. He will grow your faith. Here's the one promise that He has made, and I am so looking forward to it, is that when I die, Ruby doesn't come with me. Listen, let me clear up another rumor. This puppy that owns my house, or at least half of it right now, she's learned how to climb the stairs, so I think she's for the rest of it now. It's my fault. It's my fault. For 20-some years, it's been since we've owned a dog. And for 20-some years, I've put on this front. I do not want another one. I don't want a dog. We don't need that. Too much trouble. Too much hassle. We don't need that. For 15 years, we went down to this place, and we went in the store, we looked at puppies, and for 15 years, I walked out of there saying, I don't want a dog. I don't want a puppy. And Laura would say, okay, we're not going to get one. We're not getting one. She was always the final vote. Of course, all of you know that she's always the final vote. There's two votes in my house. I have one. She has the rest. But this time was different. This time I said, you choose, and I'll support whatever you decide. And so she chose, and we have a puppy. Not because she gave in, but because I gave in 20 years ago. She just held out for 20 years. So if anything, she should be commended. But you see, this is how God deals with us. Many of you have been in faith for over 20 years. Many of you have been walking this path for more than 20 years. And that in this relationship you've been building up with God, you've assumed that God was the only one responsible for doing this. That it was all His responsibility, that He would be the one then who would always show you trust and always show you that He cares and always shows you how much He loves you and always shows you how to do this. But all along, as you're walking along, never thinking about the responsibilities that you have or the commitment that you're making, and that as we bring ourselves to this moment, then all of a sudden, God does something in our lives and He helps us to see it and He helps us to understand it. Sometimes it's in the very small things, and we're grateful that He has mercy. He shows us something small, something not very significant, but then once in a while, He shows it in us in something else. And like a marriage that comes apart, that ruins a family, or something that just hits us so much that it destroys so much in our lives. That if we had just took the time to listen to Him, to hear what He is saying to us, that if we just took the time to hear Him say, listen, if you call out, if you cry aloud, if you search for me like you're looking for treasures, you will find me. So in the rest of our Proverbs here, as we look at the promises of God here now, starting in verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. I'm going to stop you right there. Notice it doesn't say sometimes the Lord gives wisdom. It doesn't say that He gives some of it, but you find it somewhere else if you want. He says the Lord gives wisdom. He's the only one. He's the only one. There is no one else. Only God. We can learn wisdom. We can learn these things that God teaches us. I can teach my dog to fetch, but I can't give her wisdom. And God is the sole keeper. He shares it with us. He teaches it to us. He says, for in verse 6 then, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. This is where we come to. And He teaches it to us, not only in the book, but in our lives. You see, knowing the book and understanding what the book says, then taking that out into our lives helps us to catch those things quickly. This is why I had an epiphany. And trust me, that's not the only one I've ever had. It's the only funny one that I can bring up here. But as we look at these things that happen to us, it's because we're here first. We understand the things of his word, and then we go on in our lives and we start to say, hey, you know what? I remember Jesus said something about that. I remember God was trying to teach me something about that. Or in some cases, he brings us crashing to our knees, and in our tears and in our pain, we wail to him. We cry out to him. We say, Father, help me to understand. I don't know what's going on. And so as he brings us to this thing, we must acknowledge who he is always. We must be on the search for him always in our lives. You cannot turn your back on this for a moment. Whether it's your job, whether it's what you do in school, whether it's what you do with your friends or your family, you must always keep this up front. So now let's look at his promises that he makes here. So verse 7, he holds success in store for the upright, for those who live upright in God, those who live honestly, those who live faithfully, those who stand upright and walk. He has success for you. But notice it says it's in store. Okay, so in other words, you don't get all that right now. You're storing treasures in heaven. Remember that? We're storing those things there with him. That as we store them up through our faith, then we will one day receive that. Notice it doesn't come in material things. Notice what it comes in. It comes in his salvation and his love, and certainly our faith right now as we walk here. That as we one day will stand in there, he will give us those treasures. He has them stored. And guess who it is? When you walk in through the gates, right? And you walk in and you say, hey, I'm here. I made it. And you say, well, I'm here for my treasure. And he's going to say, I'm here. I'm right here. And then he will walk with us. He is a shield. God, creator, the one who made the dog, the one who made me, the creator. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. How do we get blameless? Faithfully, we walk in Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ died for you and he paid the price for your sins. And so as you walk and you receive that and you walk in that salvation, then you walk as if that's the only thing that matters to you. That as you walk in that salvation, as Jesus then is the center of your life, not some puppy, but rather Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, creator of the universe, that as you walk and he's at the center of this life of yours, then you will be blameless. Not because of us, because we're not perfect. Trust me, that little dog can make me angry. And you know, she doesn't have a certain emotion to do that. Where do you think that emotion comes from? Me. She didn't have an accident on my floor because she was looking up at me. She has a sarcastic look, by the way. It's really amazing. It's really critical. And so as she looks up at me, she says, I'm going to do this so he gets really mad. I'm going to show him. She doesn't do that. What she does is she just goes. And goes and goes and goes. You know, and so as we look at these things and we see these things happening to us, you know, we start to inject ourselves into these things. Imagine now if you take that problem of a puppy and you translate that into my marriage. Imagine how big of a problem that can be then if I think, well, Laura Lee, she's just doing that because she's trying to show me she's boss of the house and she knows she's not. And one day I'm going to get enough courage to tell her she's not. But, you know, it's like I inject that in there. It's coming from me. When you're in a fight with somebody, by the way, you're half of the problem. You say, but I didn't do anything wrong. You're doing it now. You're fighting back. You're fighting with them. You're fighting over something that shouldn't be fought over. You know, all of these things, Jesus brings us to the moment where he says, treat others better than yourself. And so as we learn these lessons and we start to become what we're supposed to be, we start to look at that blamelessness. In other words, did you live in the salvation that is Jesus Christ? Can you? Can you? The answer is yes, you can. You can. All it takes is faith. All it takes is faith. And when you walk in him, you receive him, you walk in him, and then as you're walking in him, he's the one who's paying it all. Jesus, perfect being, died for you. And now as he walks, as we walk blameless because we walk, and he's right there with you. He's right there with you. And then you start to yell at the dog, and he says, stupid dog, and he says, no. He tells me no. He says, nope, Ben. Down, Ben. And he says, listen, you're losing your cool. You're getting angry. And he says, he's that shield. And he protects me from myself. He protects me from me. For he guards the course of the just. So God will do this for you, that if you are fair, that you are just and equality in the things of your discernments. So in other words, you provide justice because justice has been provided to you. If you provide forgiveness because forgiveness was provided to you. If you provide mercy because it was provided to you. He will guard the course that you walk on. He will watch over you. He will keep you on the path. He will help you to see that you're on the right path. Run the right one, on the right direction and the right path. He will help you to know that you're doing the right thing. And he protects the way of the faithful ones. This is God. This is God. This is what God does. He protects you. He shields you. He guards you. He has success for you. It's not here in the world. The world is the test. The puppy is the test. That's the epiphany. God is saying, how faithful are you to me with this little dog? How faithful are you to me with this entire church? I made you a pastor of a church. Can you treat them better than the dog? Or do you treat them the same way? Now listen, I don't have to share these conversations with God with you, but here's the understanding. This is my witness. That God opened up my heart and he tore apart my life so I could understand how he works in it, even through a fuzzy, cute little puppy. Even through what I thought was a good thing. Even though now I'm not thinking that so much anymore. But I'm committed to God and I'm committed to my wife and I'm committed to that puppy. She will not beat me. Even if I have to be nice to her the whole time. No, that's not how it works. How it works is that we're changed on the inside, and that's what God does. He changes us. Even in the small things, he changes us from the inside. We are transformed. Verse 9. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair. Every good path. Notice how many times right and just and fair continues to come up. And we're only in the second chapter of Proverbs. But as all of these things start to come up, he says that you will understand, then you will. And remember, verse 1 is the one that started that sequence. It said, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you. In other words, if you will listen, if you will obey, if you will repent, you do these things, then I, the Lord your God, will help you, will give you understanding. I will give you the understanding that what is right and what is just and what is fair, every good path. We cannot make a decision of any sort without God. We cannot decide on any good thing without God. We cannot have things in the world that we decide and not God. So in other words, things like abortion, things like homosexuality. People say all the time, well, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to handle that? The only way that God gives us through faithfulness and obedience to the understanding of what sin is and what it's not. This is why we come to God, because he has that wisdom, not us. It doesn't matter if I think that my dog, when she has her accidents, that I think it's gross. God doesn't care what I think of that. He made that animal a natural being. That animal just goes. What I have to do is take a responsibility to teach her where to go. So we have to go stand outside. And I learned to say things like, go potty. I was a cop. I was in the military. There's got to be a different word than potty. But that's what God does. He is the one that decides. We are the ones who accept and walk the path. And then verse 10 and verse 11 are connected. It says, for wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Notice how the flair changes. When those things become pleasant to our souls, Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. Now all of a sudden, one day that this puppy that will grow into a dog, that will be a vital member of our family, we already understand that, you know, that's what we're doing, we're working for that. We kind of did that the same way with our children, by the way. You know, that we understand that when they grow up, they're going to be this vital part of our lives. And so then God lays this responsibility on us. Well, what kind of dog will it be? Will it be the dog that bites people that come up to your house? Will it be the dog that just kind of messes itself because it's so afraid of being around other people? What kind of dog will it be? So whatever we put into that is what comes out. And I'm not talking about the accidents. Although there's got to be a way of putting food in that dog without it coming out. But as we look at these things and we try to understand, this is what God is doing. And it's not because we're soulless, but because we have souls. That he does this and he brings us to this understanding. He wants us to know these things. That he brings us to this wisdom. And he not only says that if you do it, but he promises. He promises that this is what I will do. And this is not sit up and beg. This is not lay down and roll over. This is love and trust. Will you love Jesus? Will you trust him? Because he offers not only your salvation, but he offers a life after you have been saved. Then you will have wisdom and knowledge. These things will be pleasant to your soul. They will come into your heart and they will be pleasant. They will taste good. And then there's discretion, the ability to decide, the ability to know, the ability to understand and to be able to make a good decision. Well, that will protect you. You see, there's no sin in owning a puppy. There's no sin in it. If you're trying to decide, should I get it? And I'm not telling you to go out and get one. Actually, if you're asking me, I'm telling you, don't get a puppy. What's that? But getting one is not a sin. Everything you do after that is. If you buy one and you ignore it, you neglect it, you abuse it, you're committing a sin. Why? It's just an animal. Well, it's because you have the soul. Everything that we do then is judged by our God in relationship to our sins. What will we do? How will we do it? That's the discernment that he gives us. Is it for God? Is it against God? Are you walking the blameless walk in Jesus Christ? Father, I just thank you so much for this time with your loved ones. I thank you, Lord, that you do give us a moment where we can laugh a little bit and kind of poke fun at the ordinary things of our lives. But we know that in all seriousness, oh Father, that even in these ordinary things, well, you're there. You're still teaching us and you're still helping us. No matter how painful it is. No matter how it drags us across these coals of suffering. That we know, Father, that you're there. Because we are not storing our treasures here. We are storing them with you in heaven. That we know that as we walk this path, that we want to be blameless. We want to be faithful to you, Lord. And every time that our heart cries out to you, and every time that you bring that sweet taste, that pleasant taste of discernment and understanding to us, that we realize that you are working with us when you open up our eyes and our hearts to the little things and to big things and all those things in between. We know you're with us. We know you're right there. But we know sometimes, Father, we walk off that path. In our sins, we become angry. We become so frustrated. Well, we become scared. And we certainly ask ourselves, what have we done? But we know, Lord, that you're there, even then, that we can come back to you and we can ask for his forgiveness, that you can get us back into the blameless path, that you can keep us there if we just but listen to you and look to you. If we just realize how much we need you. So we thank you, Father, for these lessons and for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. If I could have the elders come forward for the communion.